Good morning, everyone, and happy Merry Christmas Sunday to you. And I see a lot of festive outfits out there, and I told the band, let's try and be Christmassy this morning. I hope it's not too over the top, but I was given permission by others in the congregation this morning to be a little over the top. That's fine, and we're going to be Christmassy. So let's open up our service this morning with praying to God and inviting Him into our service this morning. Lord God, thank you so much for being here with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Help us to remember this week as we celebrate that day that all history is divided into AD and BC, and you actually, you know, you have a huge and the most important part of history going back to the birth of your son back then. And help us to remember that this week as we get, and not to get too caught up in all the present and the everything else, but to remember your gift to us on that holy night so many years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Why don't you stand up, and if you can, if you're willing and able, we'll start with an old favorite Christmas carol that, you know, we'll add a little bit of extra into it. You'll catch on along the way.
To the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Day today, and all right, I got my songs mixed up. There we go. We're gonna go back to a little town, a little nondescript town in Judea that a lot of people had probably never even heard of at that time, 2,000 years ago, but God picked it out to be the place where his son would be born. Lord Jesus, that you came and that you laid in a little animal feeding trough, and not very kingly, but next one, Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know? Your baby boy would someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? Little baby, when you kiss the face of God, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the baby boy will one day rule the nation. Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great
to say hi to each other, and we also have a question of the day. What is your favorite Christmas song? We may have, so maybe it changed. Okay, so in the last 2 weeks you've heard a lot of songs. All right.
Right. Good morning, live stream friends. There's some people joining us that way, but this is our Christmas service. We got Christmas Eve coming up in a few days. If you want to join the combined service, it won't be here. It'll be at Church on the Hill outside of town. But Merry Christmas, guys. Yeah. Appreciate John leading us this morning and some songs that included Mary. We're going to be thinking about Christmas from Mary's point of view today and kind of comparing Christmas today versus Christmas way back then. Christmas has come a long way since the first Christmas with the baby in the manger, right? Christmas is big business now, right? Spend, spend, spend money, money, money. Let's go, go, go. It's busy, busy. Our family went out to find our perfect Christmas tree the weekend of Thanksgiving, which we do every year. And the place we went was like Disney for Christmas trees. Seriously, like you got to park over here. There's a huge parking lot. You got to walk over here, get in line. You got to grab your saw. You got everything is all lined up perfectly. You walk out under the covered bridge over to the trees and you got the Douglas fir over here. You got the blue spruce over here. You got some other kind over here and all the new ones from over there for next year. They're back here. And so you get to pick whatever you want. You cut down your tree, you drag it down. They got 50 people standing there ready to drill your tree, bale your tree, take your money and give you hot chocolate. Like, they have been doing this for a long time. They have been doing this for a long time. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but it was like Disney. The only hiccup came when I went to pay for the tree. I'm standing in line, And I reached for my wallet, and I did not have my wallet. We already cut down the tree, and my wife carries nothing with her if I'm driving. Like, oh, my I don't even have pockets. So we're like, okay, now what do we? We have no money. You want one of my? You want my spare tire? Like, I can give you like I don't know. I got a blanket in the car, but thankfully I have adult children, and one of my kids had her wallet with her, and so I'm like, Joanna, do you think I can borrow? Dad is asking to borrow his daughter's debit card so he can buy the Christmas tree and save Christmas. Whew. That was a close call. Almost ruined Christmas. Oh, but think about it, guys. How different is Christmas today from the very first Christmas? How different is it? I want to just take kind of a deeper, we sang Mary, Did You Know, right? And that was really good setup to think about, man, what was going on then? But can we just take a deep breath and step away from Christmas as it is to meet up with Christmas as it was? Can we do that? Can you do that? You've got a list in your head. Like, you're stressed out probably. There's things I haven't done yet, things I got to do. Maybe they're shopping. I'm hoping the shipping shows up on time. They said it's going to come on the 22nd, but maybe it'll come on the 26th, right? There. Can we just kind of step away Christmas as it was, the first Christmas from Mary's point of view? What was it like for her? What was it like for her? If you've got a Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 1. This is a classic Christmas passage. If you're using the Bible app, you can find it in there. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 26 to 38. And you may have heard this before. I understand that. But let's hear it again. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what this kind of greeting might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So guys, how many of you've heard this story before? You've heard the story before? Just give me your hand so I know, like, this is probably not the first time. Okay, your hands are in the air. This story is so familiar to a lot of us, to me, that even as I'm reading it myself, I can start to hear it like a Charlie Brown Christmas. Wah, 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 wah. Did anybody drift off at all while I was reading the Christmas story? Anybody drift off to think of other things? Don't tell me. Don't tell me if you did. That happens sometimes, right? Like, oh, yeah, right, he's reading. Okay, right. Let's try to lock in on this story together for a little bit. There is one word in this story that pops off the page to me. One word that says, "This is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. This is what it's about." Anybody have any idea what word I might be thinking of in this story? It's okay if you can't read my mind. My wife knows. We talked about it. The word is favor. favor. Verse 28, the angel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Verse 30, he says again, "Mary, you have found favor with God." I want to think about that. Favor. God noticed Mary. He chose to give special kindness to this young woman. Special attention, special grace. God had a really unique blessing in mind for Mary. She found favor with God. And this is where the Christmas story begins in our minds. An angel announces to Mary, "You are going to have a baby." But this story has been in the making much, much longer than that. This story has been in the making since God originally said, "Let there be light." For centuries, for generations, God has been carefully and purposefully writing this story. Go back to the time of Abraham. This is thousands of years before when God promised, "I will bless all the people on the earth through you, through your descendants." This is the child that would fulfill that promise. It's happening now, but it started way back then. Now, if you're at all familiar with the Christmas story, you know angels play a significant role. Maybe you've got an angel on your tree. We have an angel on our tree. Angels show up in the Christmas story a lot. Gabriel is the one speaking to Mary here. Another, an angel, I don't know if it's Gabriel, who it is, but an angel speaks to Joseph a little bit later. Angels announce to shepherds that this child has been born. An angel tells Joseph later, "You got to get to Egypt. You got to get away from this insanely jealous King Herod." Angels are popping up all over the place in the Christmas story. And that is not a normal kind of thing. How many of you talked to an angel this morning? Don't raise your hand. But do you see angels all the time? I don't see angels all the time. That's not even a normal thing in biblical history. Angels have their role in the Bible. But there's a far higher concentration of angelic visits at this point in God's story. You know what that tells me? God is particularly invested in what's going on right here, right now. It's almost as if God is, he's so excited about this part of the great story, he can't help but kind of poke his head in and say, look what's happening next. Here's what's coming next. Look at this. Don't miss this. Angels are everywhere. Heaven itself is locked in on this moment in history when the eternal Son of God became a human. The angels are scratching their heads. What is this? An infant, basically helpless. And yet the very same one who said, "Let there be light." And he comes by way of Mary's womb. The virgin conceived. What did the angel say to Mary? We read the passage. Verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." You are highly favored. Highly favored by who? By God himself. Man, and what's Mary's response? What does Mary do with that? "You are highly favored, God is with you." What's the next verse? Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "You're highly favored," and her response is terror. Greatly troubled. Why? I mean, to me, I go back to the days of Ed McMahon, like big, huge check came to you, like you just won millions of dollars. Like, oh no! You're greatly favored by God, and you're terrified. Well, one reason was she's probably never seen an angel before. Gabriel's one tough dude. No chubby, floaty things. She's never seen an angel before, likely. Secondly, she has no idea what he's about to say next. What's coming? And I would suggest that angels just kind of tend to have that kind of effect on people. When angels show up in the Bible, they're terrified. Go ahead and you check it out yourself. That's what happens. And you know, it must be kind of frustrating to be an angel. You know, imagine being Gabriel. I just told you you're highly favored by God. The Lord is with you. That's all I said. What could I possibly have said differently to help you not freak out? Not every day that an angel approaches you. So the fear factor is pretty much unavoidable. It's just going to happen, so maybe they're used to it. So Gabriel again tries to calm her fears. Don't be afraid, Mary. I'm speaking gently now, okay? Don't be afraid. This is not a message of judgment. This is a message of blessing. You have found favor with God. You're going to have a baby. Yeah, she should freak out about that. Right. What are you talking about? Now I'm hallucinating. So Gabriel explains all about who this child is going to be. That could cause her to freak out. I can understand that. He's going to be the Son of the Most High, the King of Israel, a forever king. But as he's explaining that, Mary seems to kind of gloss over all the stuff he's saying. She's stuck in the first thing he said. You're going to have a baby. That's what she responds to. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold up. I'm a virgin. What do you mean I'm going to have a baby? So the angel explains that part in more detail. You're going to have a baby through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the Son of God. I'm guessing she didn't fully understand everything that's going on right here, right now. But by the end of Gabriel's visit, she accepts the message we can see. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. So think about Mary's journey. Just in this brief conversation, the angel shows up. He says, you have found favor with God. She's terrified. She's scared to death. From that, she moves to confusion. What's going on? And finally, she accepts this. Okay. Not fully understanding, but it doesn't end with just acceptance. Because if you keep reading the story, as some time progresses, she has some time to process, the news begins to overwhelm her, and after it really sinks in, Mary's heart begins to overflow with wonder and worship. That's what comes out of her after she's had a little bit of time. And I want you to hear, Mary has a song, and it wasn't the one we sang. It's a different song. This is her song, and she sings a song of praise to God. And what happened, there's a little bit of time. She goes to visit her Aunt Elizabeth, who's also pregnant, old lady, pregnant. That's crazy. That lady confirms, you're a chosen vessel of God. And Mary cries out with this song, and it's Luke chapter 1, verse 46. 46 to, sorry, I missed some slides. I do this every single week. Anyway, they're unnecessary. I just make them to make myself stumble. This is Mary's song. After she's had a little bit of time to process, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Now, I love Mary's song. I love this song. It is so rich. It's so full. It's worth our attention. It's worth some time to ponder and process with her. Mary's in awe of God's goodness, of his favor, especially toward her. She already knows what's happening right now is huge. This is going to make history. She said, from now on, all generations are going to call me blessed. She was nobody before that. Nobody knew who she was. And now everybody's going to know who she was. But she doesn't talk about only about herself. She talks about other people too. What does she say about other people? Verse 51. He has scattered those who are proud. Verse 52. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Verse 53. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. You know what Mary is recognizing in this song? She's recognizing that your attitude towards God determines his approach towards you. How you come to God will affect how he comes to you. If you come to him with arrogance, he's going to knock you down. If you come to him with humility, he's going to lift you up. If you come to him with unbelief and rebellion, he will come to you with judgment. And if you come to him with reverence and repentance, he will come to you with mercy and grace. So a good question to ask right now is this: what is my attitude towards God this Christmas season? What is my spirit towards God right now? Because there's some really good news in this song. Verse 50, I'll give you the slide. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. I love it when it says from generation to generation. That advances the slide all the way to us. Generation, generation, generation. His mercy extends to those who fear him. Verse 54 and 55, he says, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. God is a keeper of promises. He's made some promises hundreds and thousands of years ago, and God is keeping the promises. The promise to Abraham, all people on earth will be blessed through you. Right here, he's fulfilling that promise. Right now, it's happening. You know what that means? That means God's favor, it's not only resting on Mary. God's favor is resting on us. God's favor is resting on us. Look what the angels say to the shepherds later on. Now we're in chapter 2 of Luke. This is the day Jesus is born. Who is the, as I read this, you think about, who is this message for? Who is he talking to and who is he talking about? Luke 2 verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. There you go again. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for who? For all the people. Good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Only one of those. This is your sign. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. There it is again. His favor is resting on us, on people, on humanity, really. He says, the shepherd says, I bring good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior's born, so this is good news for everybody. Jesus coming, it's a sign of God's favor toward all of us. And we need his favor because of sin, because of darkness, because of rebellion, because of brokenness. And because of that, because of the darkness and the sin, the rebellion in us, what we really deserve is God's judgment. But because of his love for us, instead he gives us his son. And to that the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. So Christmas is a time to celebrate that we have found favor with God. Can you celebrate that this Christmas? We have found favor with God. Process that. When you think about who God is, he is perfect in every way. All powerful, all glorious, holy, 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 the creator, the sustainer of the universe, what should God feel toward us? I would suggest absolutely nothing. He shouldn't even think about us. And if anything, maybe he should feel anger or judgment. All that I've done for you, and this is how you respond with our sinfulness, our pride, our anger, our selfishness, all these things that come out of all of us. He's the creator of the Milky Way and every single other galaxy that exists in the universe. We are so small, I can't even squeeze hard enough to say how small we are. We are smaller than whatever's in between my fingers, and there's nothing there. And yet we know that's not how God thinks of us. Partly because of this story. I'm sending my son to live with you. He didn't send his son to some other galaxy far, far away. He sent his son to Bethlehem, inside Mary's womb, 15-year-old girl-ish, putting my son inside of this young lady. What God should feel towards us and what he does feel toward us are so, so different. We know the truth that through Jesus, God accepts us. He welcomes us. He loves us, right? This, guys, this is a big deal, that God loves us, because what he should do is just turn us into vapor. But he loves us. He loves us. And let's be honest, guys. You and I both know you can be nice. You can be kind to somebody. You can love somebody you don't really like. I mean, think family holiday gatherings. You can be nice to somebody for a little while that you don't prefer to really like. Happens. I mean, maybe there's one or two here that can relate to that. That's not God's level of how he feels towards us. Yeah, I love you, but ugh. That's not God. That's not God's spirit toward us. Not at all. Because what we see in this story is God actually favors us. Favors, like, I wasn't thinking about this, but two of my nephews, they just love me. They just, Uncle Nate. I have a video from the airport diner. I had breakfast with my sister and nephews and I think her husband was there too. I think the whole family was there. But after we left, you've been to the airport diner, the big glass windows. They were standing in the windows, banging on the windows, saying, Uncle Nate, come back. Uncle Nate, come back. And I got a video of this. My sister sent me this video. Like, they love me. They are not like, yeah, fine, we'll tolerate Uncle Nate. Like, they love me. I'm like a favorite uncle. I love being a favorite uncle. That's really cool. God doesn't just tolerate us. We're like a favorite child to him. I want to hang out with you. That's what favor means. I love spending time with you. I will do anything to repair what's broken between us. That's God's heart. That's what it means to be favored by God. He moves toward us. He enjoys us. He wants to be near us as much as possible. And when that really sinks in, if you can really celebrate that this Christmas, in one way or another, probably unique to you, a song will rise up in your heart too, like it did for Mary. So I would just suggest, this is not something I can do for you, but I would suggest to you that this Christmas, it'd be so good for your soul if you could just find a way to schedule a time, to set aside the typical Christmas stuff as it is today, and stop and ponder God's favor that is resting on you. And Even if you haven't yet believed, I don't know, there might be some people here who aren't sure what they believe yet. Just hearing this message, God's favor is reaching out to you. And maybe that's scary to you like it was for Mary. Maybe you don't really understand what that's going to mean. You don't have to be afraid of God's favor. You really don't. He wants to show kindness to you. He wants to move closer to you. And maybe that's confusing to you like it was for Mary. Confusing because life has not felt very much like I have God's favor. Or confusing maybe because I just really don't feel very deserving of God's favor. You don't know me. Why would God want to be close to me? And yet he does. And yet he does. And I'm absolutely sure God's favor felt pretty confusing to Mary in the months following the angel's announcement. And at first, we know, even Joseph wanted to put her away. The man I'm supposed to marry wants to get rid of me now. I'm pregnant. This is your fault, God. What are you doing? How am I favored in this? And we have very few details surrounding the next 9 months of Mary's life, but I'm sure parts of it were very, very hard. Really? Really? That's the Holy Spirit that did that, huh? Really? Like, how did family treat her? How did friends treat her? How did her town treat her? So just because maybe she's being treated as Elizabeth treated her well, Elizabeth got a message from God. Not everyone did. I guarantee that. There's no way that everyone got that message. And so when people are treating her that way, that doesn't mean she lost God's favor. She still has God's favor. God's favor does not mean everything is always easy and fun. Didn't mean that for Mary. It's not going to mean that for us. What it does mean is that you're chosen and loved by God in the midst of that hard stuff. That's what helps carry us through. Mary had to go through some really hard things. Years to come. And the icing on the cake. She had to watch her son get nailed to a cross with a crown of thorns jammed on his head, blood, scar, rips and tears in his whole body, and he's nailed to a cross and hanging there. That was her son. She had to see that. From the cross, Jesus spoke to John, said, "Take care of my mother." She's there. Had she lost God's favor at that point? No, we all know she did not lose God's favor at that point. How about Jesus himself? As he's hanging on that cross, did he feel the favor of God as he's on the cross? We know some of the things he said from that cross. You know what one of them was? My God, why have you not favored? He felt forsaken by God. Was Jesus, had he lost God's favor? No way. No way. Jesus felt forsaken, not favored. Maybe you felt that way at some point too. Maybe you felt like God has forsaken you. That happens. But I'm telling you, God's favor never left Jesus. It's never left you. God has always loved you. Always. Through all of it. God's favor doesn't always make life easier, but it does make life better. Hang on to that. Do not believe the lie that when life gets hard, that means I must not be favored by God anymore. No. God's favor towards you is unchanging. It's permanent. If you have received Jesus by faith, you have God's favor permanently and forever. His favor. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus yet, his favor is reaching out to you right now, offering, inviting you in. Receive him. Receive his favor. Let every heart prepare him room. That's what we're saying. As someone who's received Jesus by faith, what the angel said to Mary is also true for you. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. He is the seal of God's favor. You're favored by God. You're one of his favorites. 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 You're one of God's favorites. Now, how many of you have trouble believing that? I'm one of God's favorites? I don't know about that. Mary? Yeah, she was. Peter, Paul, James, John, some of God's favorites, but me? I don't think so, Pastor Nate. I don't think so. I know who you're talking to, but it's probably not me. Can't believe that I'm one of God's favorites. Listen to part of Mary's song again. Verse 50, His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. God's favor is reaching out to you in this generation right now. God's favor. The angel's message to the shepherds, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior's been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. This is for everybody. If your trust is in God, his mercy is on you. His grace is on you. I just really want to put it this way. You too are one of his favorites. You are one of his favorites. Everyone who fears God, who reveres him, who trusts him, who receives, they receive the favor of God and become one of his favorites. Now, I know there's some logical people in here. You might be thinking, but if God has that many favorites, it doesn't really mean anything anymore. Right? Anybody having that thought? If we're all his favorite, it doesn't really mean anything. I want you to think about this for a second. The only reason it doesn't mean anything is because I'm in comparison mode. But this isn't about comparison mode. This is about your relationship with God. See, for us, favorite has to be a ranking. I have 4 kids, and they're all my favorite. Right? If you got a favorite, there's one that stands out. Right? That's human. That's a human conception. God doesn't have to work that way. He doesn't work that way. For him, for Almighty God, everybody can be a favorite. In how he looks towards you and how he feels about you, you can be a favorite and anybody else can be a favorite. It just depends on your relationship. Have I come to him with humility? Have I come to him with need and recognizing who he is and what he's done? Then I become one of his favorites. And you might need to chew on that. Some of you are still rejecting that. I'm sure of it. You're hearing it, but you're like, nah. But what if it's actually true? What if God can do that? What if God does do that? God has more than enough favor to go around. So it really comes down to you allowing his favor to wash over you, and I hope you'll do that this Christmas. My prayer for you this Christmas is that as the favor of God washes over you, a song will rise up out of you. Whether you share it with somebody else doesn't matter at all. And whether it has a tune, a melody, sounds nice, sounds whatever, it's just a song that rises up to him, a response to his favor. Just like it did for Mary. Hers is pretty amazing. Like, you don't have to compare with that. You don't have to compare with that. But I just pray a song of praise will rise out of your heart as you recognize the favor of God towards you. A few days from now, you may or may not open up gifts under a tree. You may or may not be surrounded by family and friends. You may or may not be having a good Christmas in terms of how we all kind of think about it. Life may be hard for you right now. Life may be really, really good. But whatever your situation is, because of the first Christmas, God's favor is reaching out to you this Christmas. And that alone can make this Christmas a great Christmas. Because God himself has some gifts for you. And one of those gifts, he hung on a tree. And that gift rose from the dead and is with us now. He's with us right now. Trust him. Receive his favor this Christmas. Let it wash over you. God's favor is not just for Mary and the shepherds. God's favor is for us. It's for you. And that's enough to make heaven and nature sing. I hope it makes you sing. God, I want to pray for those here who are struggling with this idea that God could look at me as a favorite. He could like me that much. I know you do. I pray that by your Spirit, you'll convince every person here, every person watching online, that you really do like them that much. God, please do that work. May we receive the favor that's offered. God, all this favor that you gave to us, God, let it not be wasted. Let it not be washed away, but let it be received and absorbed and make a difference in our heart and fill us with joy, joy to the world, joy to our soul. God, let every heart prepare him room that this Christmas can be amazing in our relationship with you. God, please work in every person who maybe hasn't come near to you, hasn't received your favor, hasn't received your grace. And there's some stumbling blocks and things in the way. They're like, I'm not sure because of this, because of that. God, I pray that you will help them to overcome those obstacles, that they can make room for you and receive your favor and know what that feels like and know what that is like. Thank you for the hope that you sent into the world by sending Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. So we're going to sing a song right now. I'm going to let you stay in your seats and maybe just process this song. This is an invitation. It's called The Call of Christmas. And we've sung it in years past, but maybe you haven't heard it before. So just take some time to think about the favor of God, God's heart towards you. And we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in just a minute. So this can also be a time for you to kind of just think about where you're at with God and what's going on in your relationship. Is there anything in the way? Are there any obstacles, any guilt or things that are like frustration or something that's between you and God? Take some time to deal with that. Talk to him about it. And then we're going to celebrate together. So just hopefully you can receive this song, receive this invitation, The Call of Christmas.
Wonder of all wonders outside of Bethlehem, angels come to shepherds, ordinary and working men. Not the high and mighty or the powerful and great, but those who feel unwanted that the world has pushed away. Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lonely and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. All who feel rejected, unworthy and alone, we're also undeserving of the kindness we've been shown. Come behold the King of Kings, find rescue weary souls. Lay down all your burdens, he will lend and make you whole. Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind. The lonely and those longing with an emptiness inside. The forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. And for all of those in need, come find your hope and peace. And do not be afraid, for he has come to save. He's come to save. Call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lonely and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lonely and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you.
Amen. That's a call to every single one of us, guys. Every one of us. We all qualify for that. So I want to remind you in setting up for the Lord's Supper, John chapter 3, another familiar passage. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Light has come into the world. Light has come. And light has come into our hearts through Jesus. So as you prepare yourself, the Bible says, prepare yourself to take the Lord's Supper. Process where are you at in your relationship with God. Corinthians warns us, don't take the Lord's Supper hypocritically. Don't do it with some kind of unconfessed sin, some kind of hypocritical thing going on in your life. But whatever's going on in your life, you can confess it and he will forgive immediately. You don't have to do some kind of penance. You just have to bring it to him. I'm sorry, forgive me. I want to walk with you. And he'll receive you. So if you're deciding, I want to receive his favor for the very first time today, you can do this. You can join us. If you're not sure where you're at, just pass it by. Just sit there. We're going to invite you, if you want to do this, to rise from your seats, to come to the front, to take the bread, the cup, take it back to your seat. After you've had some time to process, and then we'll all take it together. But this is a way to say, I have prepared room for him in my heart. I want to receive his favor. I want to receive his mercy, receive his grace. I'm trusting Jesus. That's what you're doing. So don't do it hypocritically, but if you are ready, if you're not perfect, nobody is. But if you want to receive his mercy, receive his grace, these are all things that we don't deserve, but he offers anyway. So if you want to do that, just give you some time to think about it, to process, and then whenever you're ready, rise from your seat, come and take the elements, and we'll take them together as everybody's had a chance. we do this because this is about where Christmas is going. It's not just a cute little baby in a manger. He's coming to sacrifice himself for us. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no hope. Jesus came as a baby. He came to bring hope. He had a mission. He fulfilled the mission. And that made it possible for us to be forgiven, to be made right with God. We can be forgiven. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We come to him by faith. And that's part of why we don't have to be afraid, like, did I do enough good? Did I earn it? No, we never earned it in the first place, so you can't lose it. Your faith is in him. It's done. The work is finished. It's what he said on the cross. It is finished. So Jesus had this meal before he went to the cross with his disciples, who are about as clueless as Mary. They don't know what's going on. But after this meal, which was the Passover meal, which they knew as Jews, they celebrated this every year. But he said, I'm about to sacrifice myself. I'm going to be the lamb. They would sacrifice a lamb. They knew what that was about. But Jesus is going to be the last one, the last sacrifice. He says, my body's going to be broken for you. My blood is going to be shed for you. And he said, I want you guys to keep doing this. This was also a generation to generation to generation thing. I want you to keep doing this. Don't ever forget. And we're human. We're touch people. We're emotional people. We have all these senses. He said, I want you to put this in your mouth. I want you to swallow it. And it's a way of saying, Jesus, I'm trusting you. I'm receiving you. We're not eating Jesus' body, but we are receiving him. We're receiving him, saying, yes, my trust is in you. So let's pray and give thanks for what he's done. God, we are so thankful to be able to celebrate, to think about the favor of God resting on us, not just Mary and the shepherds, but also on us, to receive that favor and to do this tangibly, to say, Jesus, I'm trusting you. God, I pray that this time together would help our Christmas be more what it's supposed to be. Be more thoughtful about what you've done and celebrating the right things. God, thank you for the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Thank you for the blood that was spilled for us. He was tortured. He was tormented. His body was shredded for us. I see images of that in movies and things that are violent and grotesque, and we don't even scratch the surface of what he went through for us. But he did it out of love. He took the wrath of God, the judgment on mankind. He took the curse of sin upon himself so we could receive grace and mercy and forgiveness. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the undeserved favor. We thank you for making us a favorite. We receive that. Lord, help us receive that. May it change the way we think about the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus took the bread. He broke it. He said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take it together. He took the cup, which they would have had four cups during the Passover meal. This is the last one. He took the cup. Maybe it's the third one. I forget. But he took the cup. He passed it. He said, this is my blood. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Amen. Would you lead us?
You can stand up. We'll finish out with a couple more Christmas carols. And, you know, this one, there's a part in it that says, fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voice. If you want to do that, that's fine. Nobody's going to stop you. And just worship our King.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul found its worth. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Praise His name forever.
Thanks, John, for that idea. That was nice to be able to sing in the round, I think they call it, and see one another. All right, so we know that Christmas is just a couple days away. Have a couple announcements. We have home groups starting back up in January. If you check out the info table downstairs, there are sign-up sheets. There's two groups, a Monday night and a Tuesday night. If you're interested, you can sign up. If you don't know anything about them, you can talk to the Henches, the guy behind the soundboard, or Aaron, or Nate, or Ann. They're the home group hosts. We also have exciting, for the youth, a new nameless, to-be-named class starting January 5th at 8 a.m. here at Cornerstone. So if you're in middle school or high school and you are invited to this class, and what's fun is the class is going to name itself. So right now it is a youth class, but there'll be some cool catchy name that they come up with. So TBD on what that's going to be called. But Rick Hadley is going to be leading the youth in that class every Sunday at 8 a.m. So if you're a parent and you're going to bring your youth, there will be coffee and conversation for you to hang around while they're doing their class. So we're looking forward to getting that started on January 5th. And then lastly, if you're looking for a Christmas Eve service to go to, you can go to Church on the Hill. Cornerstone is partnering with Church on the Hill for the Christmas Eve service. We've done this for several years, so 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and that will be a nice way to celebrate the birth of our Savior. If you would like to stick around in fellowship, there's snacks downstairs, coffee, tea. Otherwise, have a lovely Christmas, and you are dismissed.